Welcome back to Bannerbox, a review podcast run by the team here at Mad Artists. Each week we will be breaking down, I say each week, it's been like 3 months, a different thing, whether it's a movie, a TV show, whatever we're feeling like. And this week, to welcome us back after a long hiatus of doing A Christmas Carol, we watched The Road to El Dorado. My name is Danielle, and here are the Mad Artists I have with me to help break this down today.
Hey everyone, as always, it's Samuel.
It's-a me, Tyler.
Hi, it's Rory.
Hi, I'm Sophia.
Hey, it's John.
And we have our guest and friend of the podcast, Mimi, back tonight.
It's-a me, Mimi.
You're probably thinking, if you ever have listened to this before, who are Rory and Sophia? They are new members of the Mad Artists team, so we're very happy to have them here. And this is their first time being on the podcast. They don't know what they're walking into, so they don't know what they need to have prepared. And they'll figure it out on the way.
And be nice to them in the comments, guys. We know we read every single one of them. So like definitely
the comment section, guys.
Yeah,
yes.
Let us know in the comments section.
The comment section on Spotify.
Yep. Go to Spotify.com and then go to the comment section of this video. And I'm telling you, man, it's about engagement, dude.
You go back to your sake. So I believe only me and Mimi had actually seen this before. Is that right?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware.
So, have any of y'all heard of this or been exposed to anything from this before?
I've been exposed to the memes.
Yeah, that's about it. I was going to say, memes.
I'm familiar with some of the music, specifically Tough to Be a God.
Oh, yeah.
I knew that this movie existed, and that's about it. I went into this very, very blind.
John?
I mean, the meme content is, of course, there, and I had heard Tough to Be a God before. That's about the extent that it goes.
Well, Mimi, as probably the biggest fan of this movie in the room, how did you first kind of stumble upon this gem?
Well, I think it was made like in the year I was born, maybe. So I just, you know, I came out the womb just like, this is my movie,
It actually came out the year I was born.
I thought it was it made in the year I was born, though?
Or was it pitched? I don't know when it was made.
All right, well,
no idea.
It came out in 2000.
Anyways, I'm pretty sure my year is in there somewhere important. But no, I grew up watching all animated movies, and I especially love DreamWorks. I know I'm jumping ahead, but like anything they do, I pretty much love. I love any good duo. That's my jam. So I'm also a really big fan of Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. So I'll get into that. But basically, like, any of that's like dynamic duo stuff, like I live for this, especially the comedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, this one I saw when I was a kid just because, you know, if it was a cartoon in the 2000s, it was a kid's movie, whether or not it probably should have been. And and so I saw like basically every animated movie that came out in that time.
Family Guy.
No. I said animated movie. But no, I remember the last time I watched this was probably in my teens, and I was like, this is not a kid's movie. Why did I think this was a kid's movie? And now watching it again tonight, I stand by that statement. This one, as we said, came out in Samuel's year of birth, 2000. It was directed by, so there were a lot of cooks in the kitchen with this. It was directed by, I'm going to butcher these names, so correct me if you know the pronunciation of these names, Bebo Bergeron.
I know you didn't have to come out with Bebo Bergeron.
That's what it says.
Right off the bat, we're to a great start.
No shot.
And then Don Paul and Jeffrey Katzenberg, written by Ted Elliott, Terry Rossio, and Carrie Kirkpatrick, so many people on this, and stars Kevin Klein as Tulio and Kenneth Brenig as Miguel. You can buy or rent it on YouTube, Prime Video, Vudu, Apple TV, or Google Play. And the IMDb is super short and sweet for this. Two swindlers get their hands on a map to the fabled city of gold, El Dorado. So, since we're kind of just jumping into this, you know, like freewheeling, we're not going to do the standard. This is just a quick review, so we're not going through everything that we have, you know, normally. So, really, I'm just curious what you guys thought about it. All my newbies here.
Oh, man. This was terrible.
Just the worst.
I love how quickly it jumped into the action. Like, there was, like, not a second of, like, pause or setup. It was just, you hopped right in. And you were along for the ride. Whether you liked it or not, you were along for the ride.
So something I just found exactly makes a lot of sense is that the writing team who wrote this is the writing team behind all the Pirates of the Caribbean films.
Really?
And that just kind of tracks.
Yeah. You know, there was...
It does.
There were a couple of music themes, like, towards the end specifically, when they were going towards, like, the exit, that for a second sounded like Pirates of the Caribbean. And I was like... I know that's not what it is, and, like, this came before that, but, like, it sounded like it for a second.
Wait, did Hans Zimmer do Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah, he did.
So, that makes sense.
I would like to get this out of the way kind of here at the beginning. One big critique with this movie.
No shy.
So, Hans Zimmer and John Powell did the score, John Powell of How to Train Your Dragon fame.
Oh, really?
Really?
With songs written by Elton John, and, I did not like the soundtrack.
Really?
It did not do it for me. The songs did not...
I adored it.
I was not a fan of the soundtrack.
I don't disagree.
At all.
Here's the actual truth of it.
I thought the music was kind of...
I kind of agree. That is my only thing with the whole movie that I have really any... And it's not even an issue. It's just because it's a little lacking. Mm-hmm. And because they not only are lacking, but they play the entirety of the song all the way through, it tends to be a little kind of like dragging that part of the movie down a little bit.
It felt a little bit like Spirit.
Yeah, so...
Okay, but Spirit's music
slaps.
So
what I was
going to
say,
you know.
It's debatable.
No, it just does slap. What I was going to say, though, is that it felt very derivative of Spirit and of Tarzan in terms of how it did its music.
I thought about Tarzan
but
a lot.
Both of those movies did that kind of music better.
I agree.
And that's my thought process, is that I don't think the music is necessarily bad in any way.
It's not bad.
I do think it is kind of, like, by definition, mid. Yeah. And so when everything... So I made a joke in the beginning saying I hated it. This movie... an instant classic. This is one of my tops. Like
I'm shocked you haven't seen it. It's so your humor.
This is like actually probably on the heels of Incredibles in terms of how much I like. I mean, Incredibles is my favorite animated anything.
Yeah.
And so it was just dripping with charm, dripping with charisma. Everybody's likable and just talk about eye candy in terms of what is wrong with that sentence?
Hey, Colton called it. He isn't here to say it, but he called that you were gonna struggle a little bit with just Chell being on the screen.
I was talking about the landscape. But if you want to get to Chell, I had my second sexual awakening.
Oh my goodness, no. I mean, it's like I was kind of, you know, saying in the middle, well, no. I actually didn't. I thought it and I didn't say it, which is...
All right.
I thought I said it because I thought it so many times.
Is that what you think?
Yep. great content, right?
Groovy, baby.
But as I was watching it, I think I realized because this movie did not do great in theaters.
That's
like
crazy.
It really didn't. And it was the first DreamWorks movie to do as poorly as it did. And it actually had a bunch of other Miguel and Tulio adventures that were going to be set in like different mythical locations that they find.
Really?
Planned. Why? But then because it tanked, they canceled all of them and didn't
robbed.
Do it. And so, yeah, we were robbed. But as I was watching it, I kind of understood, because selling an animated movie to adults, especially back then, was a pretty hard sell. And the humor is definitely geared more towards, like, we were all having a great time, but I know none of those jokes landed as a kid. Like, none of them. Like, I was just enjoying, like, the horse is funny, and, like, look at the costumes, and, like, and as a kid, that's what I'm, like, having fun with. But all of the jokes that we were dying over, I know I missed as a kid, for sure. And so, of course, it's not going to do that well. But I feel like if this kind of thing was released now, it would do so much better.
I agree.
Yeah. I definitely think so.
Mm. So what was everyone's sort of like favorite and least favorite parts of this movie?
Oh, God.
We're jumbling it up a little bit.
I really loved the music. I don't know what y'all are on. This was, I'm a big
Everyone
Elton
has
John
their own taste.
Yeah.
That's okay.
At the end of the day,
I'm
allowed
to be
huge. I'm a huge Elton John fan, and a lot of it felt really similar to his debut album in the way, it was written, and I feel like he absolutely took inspiration from, and I'm blanking on the name here, but his writing partner for those albums.
Tim Rice?
Not Tim Rice. Tim Rice was the guy who did the music for this, as well as Lion King. Okay. But his, Elton John's writing partner on his main albums was drastically different. And I feel like Elton John was obviously very inspired by the work that he did with him. And you could really feel that in a lot of certain songs there. I have some of the names written down. Specifically, like Trail We Blaze.
Well, Trail We Blaze was actually my favorite this time around.
Really?
Yeah.
What was your favorite the first time around?
Well, when I was a kid, it was definitely It's Tough to Be a God. For sure.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But yeah. But now I like just the catchiness of the Trail We Blaze was like, okay, that's sticking with me a little bit more. Like, you know, I think that one's my favorite now. But anyway, continue.
But yeah, Trail We Blaze and Friends Never Say Goodbye just really reminded me of his debut era. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. So Tim Rice coming on to help with that and like flesh that stuff out to apply more to the movie was fantastic to me.
Yeah.
Okay. I think my issue with the music was that it was just saying, well, I'm so sorry, Rory, but it was just saying, like, what they were doing. And I'm like, I don't
we're
have any...
walking on a trail. It's like, hey, they're walking on a trail.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
So inspiring. Like, I feel like if I watched it as a kid, I would be like, oh my gosh, yes, they're walking on a trail. Friends don't say goodbye. But then, like...
It's like the music
adult,
was made for kids, and then the humor and the story was all made for adults.
Yeah, so
that's
that part,
honestly a good way to put it.
Yeah, I just
so,
I didn't enjoy it.
How can you?
I mean, you are the youngest one here. Well, no, that's not
no,
true.
I
that's
am.
Not true.
I'm gonna challenge that though. Like, how are you gonna say that the music was playing exactly what was on stage or on script on stage?
He's back,
ladies. Oh Lord, have mercy! Please send help. My ass. No, I'm kidding. But the music isn't showing you what's on the screen because it's saying friends never say goodbye while they were saying goodbye. And I'm not trying to poke holes in your argument here. But
well, except the whole thing was that they kept refusing to say goodbye.
Yeah.
They kept just like, you know, smacking each other in the back of the head instead of saying goodbye.
Well, he was leaving. I mean, that's more metaphorical. But regardless, the joke is over now.
I'm glad we could pick apart your joke for
mm-hmm.
you.
Yep, that was fun. You guys having fun? Hey, post in the comments if you're having fun.
Wonderful time. Wonderful time.
And see, I will point it out that, you know, you're saying that it was reminiscent of Spirit. Spirit did not do that. Spirit, it was all written about the idea of the scene.
That is true.
As opposed to, and I've been captured, but I'm gonna get out eventually. Like, that wasn't the lyrics.
They were singing Get Off of My Back when the horse was getting the people off of his back.
That was the only one that
did
that.
Into his game.
Yeah.
Get out of my way.
But it wasn't, I'm a horse and they're jumping on me. Like, it wasn't like that.
But it should have been. Let's be real. One time. Name one time where the
you know,
Road to El Dorado sang, we're humans and we're walking in the woods.
You know, I've always
objection.
Said...
Objection!
I've always said...
Objection,
I,
Your Honor.
I've always said I can't write songs, but maybe I'm wrong. You know? maybe I should get into songwriting. All right, well, Samuel, what about you?
I think my least favorite has got to be the music. And then in terms of my favorite... Okay, so here's the thing. I'm a sucker for funny horses in animated movies. They get me.
What
so
specific?
I know, right? Maximus in
oh
Tangled.
Oh my god,
sure.
So funny.
Killed
sure.
me as a
so
kid.
Funny.
Absolutely
really?
Killed me. Yeah, so Altivo, is that his
Altivo.
Name?
Altivo.
Yeah, he did it for me. He's my
yeah.
favorite part of the movie.
You lost it with the hooves when he saw the hooves. And
oh my
just
god.
Put
so funny.
Oh
earnest.
My goodness.
Yeah.
John, what about you?
If you say the music, my heart will break.
Do it. Do it.
I don't want the pressure.
Can
you
hear the music?
Can I hear the music? Can I hear the music? John Brooks asking me if I can hear the music. That's what he said. What is this imitation right now?
I'm just you.
You mean
that's the imitation of John?
What was the answer to the question?
Can you guys tell it's been a minute since we've done this show?
Very long time. So much energy. I think my favorite part has to be just, I mean, just honestly, the jokes as a whole. I mean, I can't really surmise the... What?
I was making a Darth Vader joke. What were you saying?
Ignore him, please.
He's trying to get mess you up.
Just the humor overall. It was just, it strikes a chord so well, and the dynamic between the two of them it's just, the chemistry is fantastic. Even though they're not on screen, you can feel the chemistry between the voice actors.
Well, and you, and a big reason why that is they did something similar. I don't know what other movie it was, but most voice actors just go in and film by themselves, but they specifically filmed with each, or recorded it, their lines with each other, so they could, like, play off each other's expression, and they could improv and, like, you know, do stuff like that, which is not something that most animated movies do. Usually they just come in and they just record their lines by themselves with the director there telling them what they want, and then they leave, and that's it.
For a movie like this, it ended up becoming its X factor, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because it's the interplay between the characters, and you could tell who was not in the booth.
Yeah.
Or with them. You know what I mean? Like the chief guy.
Yeah.
Cortez?
Mm-hmm. No, not
Cortez.
Chief Tani.
Oh, Chief
Tani.
Chief Tani, you could tell it sounded like he was recording somewhere else from everybody else. You know what I mean? Like,
there was something in his voice that was odd to me. Although he did have good moments, like like the moment of, you know, to err as human was like one of my favorite scenes.
That was really cool.
That was really good, where he just says that, Miguel's like, what? And he just kind of gives him a look, and he's just like, I'm just going to leave the boat.
Well,
like,
it's so cool, because he figures out that Man is human.
Mm-hmm.
What, like, right when he's seeing just how much good he's doing for El Dorado.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those, like, I'm gonna wait. Oh, you know what? Okay, I see the bigger picture here.
Yeah.
And like, if I say mine, am I going at a turn? Is that gonna?
There isn't a turn.
There isn't a turn.
I've just been calling on the people who haven't gone yet.
Well, so that brings me to my favorite thing about this movie, which is a blend of the actual. This sounds so corny, but I really like the heart that this movie had, and that blending with the. Yeah, I was hoping that didn't happen, and this is my nightmare. No, the heart blended with the charisma made it not corny at all, and just made it super entertaining.
Yeah.
And the fast pace without being, like,
without being
Star Wars 9, you know what I mean? Like, that, the fast pace was, like, really, really nice for the old ADHD, so it was just, like, it was perfectly paced, it had a lot of cool things to look at, those are, but that's my final thoughts, not my, a good thing.
All right, great.
Put in the comments if you guys are having fun.
I just wanted to let you sit in it for a second.
I hated that. Yep.
Mimi, what about you?
Someone to cut me off.
Also, I would like to say that I was right about 99, my year was born in 1994. So that's when Jeffrey, the head of animated film production studios, DreamWorks.
Not Jeffrey.
Jeffrey.
Just Jeff.
So he has the screenwriting duo responsible for Aladdin, blah, blah, blah. But basically that's when he handed in to the people, like, the writing for it was 1994.
Okay. Who's Jeffrey?
No, it's, I think it's one of the guys
Katzenberg?
Katzenberg.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Head of, mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a big, because he was a big Disney guy, and he...
Was he?
Yeah, he got his start. I hope I'm remembering this correctly, because I watched the whole thing on him. He was the CEO or one, or like the artistic director, someone really high up in Disney. And there was a falling out. There was some weirdness, some bad blood, and he started DreamWorks to rival Disney. That's why their first flagship show, which was Shrek, was like a spoof and a farce of everything that Disney did, because Jeffrey Katzenberger was like, I'm the new player in the game now, or whatever his name is.
Love it.
Yeah, and that's actually what I was trying to think of earlier, is that they had planned on, since, you know, Shrek became kind of like a franchise and they did like a bunch of movies, that's what they wanted to do with Miguel and Tulio, and it just didn't work out. Which is just a crime.
Heartbreaking.
A crime against art. Well, this one, it didn't win anything big. It was nominated for a bunch of, like, low-level awards that didn't really... that, like, they wouldn't register anywhere, really. So, you can't look at my screen.
No cheating, Mimi.
So, this is the part where you guys get to guess. This is our guessing game. So, out of 100%, what do you guys think this is critically rated on Rotten Tomatoes?
Critically?
Is that always made when, like, it's released, or is that just over time? Like,
over
how does
time.
That work?
It's over time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Is the tomato score, like how good it is, like
so. There's there's the critic score, and then there's the audience.
How the Rotten Tomatoes critic score works is they aggregate all the reviews that they can find on the internet, and if it's a positive review, it's essentially what percentage of reviews are positive. So if a movie gets a 92%. Then that means 92% of the reviews of it online are positive.
That doesn't mean they're all 5 stars. Yeah. It just means they're positive.
Yeah. So that could be something's 3.5 stars out of 5, and it counts as a positive review.
Mm. So this is the percentage out of 100 that you think not just random people, but critics rated it positively.
64.
Okay.
Here's the problem with this movie. No.
Here we go.
No. It's not the IMDb score yet. You can't do the horse method yet.
He's used the horse method on the...
I've used the horse method.
The horse method?
Time. Yeah, there's a horse
What's
method.
What's the horse method?
Here's the problem with this movie. I counted. There's one horse in this movie.
That's not true.
That's not true. Two. Cortez rides up on a horse.
Except for that other one. So think about it, right? There's two horses.
There's another boy.
There are
boy.
Three main characters. Tulio, the other guy, and Shell.
You didn't remember Miguel?
Miguel.
Miguel and Tulio.
It's a 60%.
Tulio and Miguel.
You think it's 60%? Okay,
three
so
64.
Times 3,
you always multiply it by 10. You always do that.
Okay, so 60 and 64.
Give me 71%.
Okay.
I was going to say higher than, like, 75.
Go with your gut.
My gut is saying, like, it's in the, like, 80. I'm going to go, like, 80. I'm going to just say 80.
Okay.
You're out of your mind.
I'm not aware.
I'm going to even it out at a solid 73.
Mm. Beautiful. All right.
72.
And what were y'all twos? You had 60. 60.
I was 71.
It's gonna be Tyler. It's low.
Really? I am your god. I am Miguel.
The horse method, I am Tulio. The horse method tends to somehow work.
I didn't even look that one up. Let's go.
So
Samuel, bleep that out.
The critical score is pretty low on this. Only 49.
Really?
Yeah. Right. Audience score. The audience score is also... we don't know why. But the audience score is also out of 100. What do y'all think that is?
Audience score has to be higher. I'm going with 82.
Okay.
I'm going to say 67.
Okay.
77.
Okay.
71.
Okay.
73.
All right.
76.
I hate that it's Tyler again.
it's lonely up here at the top.
You were off by 1. It was 66.
Come on.
Why and do that, people not like this movie?
I don't know.
Because the music's bad? Is that
maybe.
Why?
Hey, watch it.
Is it because Rory's wrong? Is that why?
This
like
is a cop
well received that all of us love, like unanimously.
I don't remember.
If only we could remember what it was.
Yeah, if only we could remember.
Tragic.
You'll have to listen to all the other episodes. So now, this one's out of 10, and oftentimes is a decimal. What is the IMDb score? So this is the average of just all of the reviews. So if someone rates it a 7, if someone rates it a 2, then, you know, the average in between. So it's the average of all the reviews.
I mean, knowing all that, I'm going to say, I guess, like 5.9.
Okay.
He's calculating the horses in his head right now.
He's like, hmm.
It's just two, but they're so similar.
There's two horses.
Two brain cells.
Four hooves per horse. 8 hooves. 4 of them were gold. The other one didn't. Obviously. 65. Or 6.5.
65.
Out of 10.
Wait.
You said 6.5? Okay.
6.4.
Okay.
5.5.
Okay. And that's a smem from Sophia.
No, we're just going to aim for the meme number 6.9.
Okay.
Filth.
5.7?
Johnny boy, you got it on the money.
Really?
6.9. That is somehow fitting for this film.
It is fitting.
Very fitting for this film.
This film was
so horny.
I mean, Chell is on screen. What are you going to do?
Yeah. I don't know. That's my cross to bear, I suppose.
No, the scene where she's seducing Tulio, Tyler just goes, "I feel seen."
I felt the two of you in the corner just like, yeah, we know what this is. Like, we know what this is, we know who this is for, and we know who's identifying. And I'm like, I know you're looking at me, all right? Shit. Talkie mushrooms. Aha, I saved it.
Yeah, Samuel has to edit these episodes, and he gets upset whenever people curse and make him
saved
leave.
It.
Quick, what everyone start cursing as fast as you can.
No.
I would like to say the one negative thing I have to say about this
movie. No. Do it.
Which is very hard for me to say. But I don't like the fact that because I know weird stuff about religions and stuff, is they mix the Mayan, Incan, and Aztec, and it's none of it is, like, right at all. And I'm just upset, because I'm like, why didn't you just stick with one and do it really, like, well?
Yeah.
You know? Because, like, Shibalba, and then, like, blood sacrifices, and then, like, the god that they're depicting that Cortez is, and, like, all of that is just, like, a big, giant mixture, and none of it's right.
I do think, and look at me, a liberal saying this, but I know this. I do think that there is a period of time in media in general that was like the ignorant time of cinema, where they didn't think about the cultural implications of just mixing everything up and just creating a story.
And
like that
year was 2000.
And that year was 2000. No, because seriously, this is before we started holding movies to that kind of standard.
For sure.
Yeah.
So it's hard to go back and be like, I'm not saying you're wrong for feeling that way, by any means.
But you are wrong.
Just because you're incorrect doesn't mean that you're wrong. No, but I'm not trying to say that you're wrong for feeling that way, because your feelings are valid for seeing it, because it could have been better like that. The only thing is, they weren't supposed to be held to that standard, so is that necessarily their fault?
No, what? It's not like I'm like, oh, you guys are just... Like, I understand, because, like, I get it. It was, like, it was written in the 90s. Mm. Like, a lot has happened since then.
Mm. Sure.
But I'm just like, guys, we could have just stuck with one. Like, I don't know.
Well,
I guess that's almost kind of lazy, or almost even
to cancel El Dorado.
Absolutely not. I love El Dorado.
I guess my counter is that because this is here's the thing. I'm gonna say this, and I'm probably gonna be wrong because I don't know anything about history at all. So I'm probably gonna say this, and everyone is gonna be like, "What are you talking about?" And I'm gonna be like, "Okay." But my thought was, since this is kind of a like, you know, mythical place that is like a legend, you know, is that maybe the idea was, instead of picking a known civilization, like, you know, what if all these civilizations almost got pieces of what they believe from this one central, like, legendary location? I don't think they were thinking that much about it, but that's how I'm, like, justifying
like,
it.
To be fair, how many movies mix Christianity with other religions?
That's
and
true.
Nobody bats an eye?
That is true.
His crew was, you know, carefully chosen as the 12 disciples of Christ. And, you know, so
but
they can't.
He said
that's
that.
That's what Cortez says. He goes, he like, okay,
that.
So when they're stowing away, he's like, my crew has been carefully chosen as the 12 disciples of Christ, and I will not stand stowaways. And I will
she
send you, like literally,
months.
Like, that's my favorite part. This,
because
for some
God
reason.
God knows Spain wasn't religious back
yes.
then.
And he's like, you'll be flogged, and then you'll be flogged some more on the sugar cane plantations in Cuba. You know?
Holy smokes.
But
yeah.
Also, like, that wasn't even happening. Anyway, it's all just wrong. So, historically, it's all just wrong, and I'm like, whatever. But it was still, I mean, of course, it's a movie, I get it. But, and then the one thing I encourage all of you guys to do, if you like this movie, and this is like, if you look back, which now you're saying with all the Disney stuff, it's really interesting that the Disney person that left and started DreamWorks.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch any of like the stuff, or like Bob Hope and Bing Crosby and all that, they did Road to Bali, Road to...
Oh, that's right, because it was a take. It was like their interpretation of that.
That, and then Road to Shanghai, they did like 10 or 12 movies.
Well, no, I saw a video about this.
Oh, really?
That was the series that inspired Road to El Dorado.
What? Okay,
yeah, I was watching
a
movie breaking down a bunch of different like animated stuff, and that was one of the things things about
watching
that.
Watching a movie, breaking down a bunch of different animated stuff.
So, but I like I loved those movies. Like, they're very old,
Yeah.
And does not stand the test of time, but it's still fantastic. But it's that whole dynamic duo on the road and the trail we blaze.
Yeah.
And then this, now I understand it probably was like some sort of spoof on that. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. But yeah, if y'all like that, you should check it out.
When are we going to unpack the themes of white saviorism?
I'm
kidding.
I mean, let's go ahead, Tyler.
If I can't talk about the historical thing, you don't get to bring that up.
Oh my goodness. Well, the next thing I guess is it's time to recast, guys. So this is the part where with the people currently in this room, or like, you know, people really close to us, because sometimes we'll throw Rick in there even though he's not here.
Yeah, I mean, Rick's the priest.
Rick is so the priest. Oh my gosh.
I just want to be the armadillo.
So we're
Can I be Chell?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh.
Tyler, I think you're the horse. Like, I mean that.
I'll do you.
The only person with the comedy skills.
Thank you very much.
I think legitimately that Mimi and Samuel are, Miguel is Mimi and Tulio is Samuel.
Yes.
That's actual
fact. I'm definitely Miguel.
I think that's about as on point as we could get.
And I gotta be honest, I think John is Shell.
No, he's Chief Tawny. Come on. Come on.
I just thought I wanted to be funny. No, you're the Shell in my heart.
Yes! That's all I need.
Rory wants to be Shell so bad. Oh my god.
Let me get you a hat that says you're the Shell in my heart.
Oh my god.
I just want to be Tyler's.
That's my new rap song coming out.
The Shell of my heart. Oh man.
Oh my goodness.
I still feel like the priest is Tyler in another realm where he's being like the
that's
pastor,
like my dark
but
side.
Not.
Yeah.
There really aren't many characters.
No, there aren't that many characters.
Yeah. We ran out.
Yeah. Who's Cortez? Who wants to be the villain?
Sophia's Cortez.
Sophia's Cortez.
I wouldn't say anything, guys. But, you know.
Well, that leaves me with my dream role, which is the armadillo, and I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Snuffed out. They put me in the stupid horse. I mean, congratulations.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with being a horse, okay? I speak from experience. Here's a wonderful time.
Rory
confirmed.
Oh,
what a horse.
No,
I thought he was saying he was a furry.
No, he was saying he was the unicorn.
Oh, you're talking about that.
Yes.
I thought you were like, you're going to dress
everyone
up
here
and
got it.
Oh, Rory Donovan, what are you saying right now?
This sound wave here is incredible.
It's just a brick.
Basically.
Only on Fridays, Tyler.
Okay, so now these are three rules for the drinking game for this movie. There has to be a rule for a shot, for finish your drink, and for take a drink. So
take a drink every time they mention gold.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's how you die. I think finish your drink anytime there is a very obvious... Innuendo is a loose word. Because it's a little more than an innuendo.
When there's just overt sexuality.
Yeah, overt sexuality in the movie.
Take a shot anytime somebody takes off earrings.
Oh, that's a good one.
Thank you. I watch this movie at least two or three times a year. So,
okay, I think that's all three of our rules then.
Yeah. And then there's the finish the bottle.
No.
Mm-hmm. Finish the bottle anytime there's water on screen.
Anytime.
Finish the bottle anytime they
kids
lie.
Kids have fun.
Nope.
Post in the comments if that works out for you.
Well, I never got to say my favorite and least favorite from this movie. Least favorite, I'm sorry, it has to be the music. And then my favorite, honestly, is the ridiculous ball game. I love the ball game, and it's the part of the movie that stuck with me for 10 years.
Really,
so good.
Well, that and of course the scene with Chell and Tulio, because of course that's gonna stick in your brain. But
I think we're all a little haunted. Sure.
But no, the
can't
one
imagine why
the haunted? One that stuck with me. Mimi's like, I don't know about haunted.
Inspired.
Inspired. Oh my god.
You heard it here first, folks. Mimi takes her seduction tactics from Chill.
A moment of silence for Colton.
To Shibalba.
gosh.
Oh my god.
Well,
last but peek behind the curtain yep. segment.
Well, last but not least, everybody, let's say out of 10 armadillos, what would you rate The Road to El Dorado?
Easy 10. Easy 10. Not even a question. 10, can I give it an 11?
Even with how bad the music was, Tyler?
Dude, this movie was goated. This is an instant classic for me. This legitimately is on the top shelf in my mind.
8 out of 10 because of the music.
Two whole points.
Wow. God.
Okay.
I was feeling 8, but I'm going to say 8.5 out of spite for Samuel.
What took it down for you, huh?
Vibes. I mean, it was a great movie, but I can't justify it being perfect. A lovely movie, and I had a great time, and I have no real argument for lowering it other than it was
just...
Hey,
if it feels right, it feels
right.
It feels
right, yeah, exactly.
If it feels right, it feels right.
How are you going to come on a movie review podcast and say vibes?
Hey, you guys brought me here.
Hey,
okay.
Tyler, the amount of times we have rated something and it's been like, I don't know why, it just kind of feels like a 9 and not a 10. We've done that on like every episode.
And every single time that's journalistic malpractice.
Define journalistic malpractice.
That. Easy. What I just said. Next question, Your Honor.
You can't just throw out phrases you can't define.
It's called Uno Reverse. And journalistic malpractice is when you're reporting the wrong stuff on purpose to influence the electorate.
Well, that took you a minute to remember, didn't it?
Bro! This is a comedy show! Not define malum prohibitum, all right?
In another life, Tyler was a lawyer. Sophie?
I'd rate it a 9 out of 10, for sure.
Because of the music?
Yeah, and vibes, you know, like...
I know you
This is my last not. Episode. It was lovely seeing you guys. I'm going to head out now.
Okay, so of course it's our Gen Z new mad artist people being like, yeah, it's just like vibes, like, you know.
Weird, it was not bussing, bussing for real.
I am also Gen Z in the room, okay.
Oh my.
Put that out like there.
You as well, Cap. You would be too as well.
No.
The cuff's like
they're all millennials.
I'm a millennial.
Millennial.
It's like 97 or 98.
God, I feel young.
Good.
And that concludes our Let's Label Everybody segment. John.
We were sold 9 dillos.
9 dillos.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Yeah, there's 9 armadillos.
9 dillos.
I heard something else at first, and then we'll leave it at that. So
9 dillers.
I feel like, I mean, it's a 10 for me. I was going to almost say 9.5 because I want you guys to trust my judgment and that it's not just what I like. But this has rewatchability. It's quotable.
Oh my goodness. Point yes. Break moment, everyone.
Like, it's so good. And honestly, I watch it multiple times a year because it brings me joy. And it's all about friendship. And I love that in the end where it's like, yeah. Them. They stay together. Yes. And also I base, you know, characters on this, so obviously I like it, and you should watch it and appreciate it.
Dude, I'm sorry, I missed your rating.
Oh, it's a 10. I said 9.5. I was almost guessing 9.5, and then I was like, oh, I don't want people to think I just give out 10s like crazy, but it's great. 10 out of 10.
Honestly, I agree with you and Tyler. As much as, like, yeah, the music was a little lacking, it wasn't lacking enough to actually take off points because it didn't detract from my enjoyment of the movie at all. It didn't, it dragged in moments, but there was enough fun stuff happening on the screen to where I was like, oh, I'm not bored, though. Like, you know, there's still cool stuff happening. So I would have to, I think I have to go with you guys and give it a 10 out of 10 because this is an absolutely fantastic movie. So, lastly, does anyone have any final thoughts before we get out of here?
I actually had a theory. At the beginning, that whole exposition period before they start sailing to El Dorado was very real. Like, there wasn't a magical horse, there wasn't, like, super cracked out visuals, it was human. And once they get stowed away on the ship, they're dead. Like, if we're being realistic here, the horse isn't gonna give them a key. They're dead. My theory is this was their journey, like, through the afterlife, in a way.
Oh. Where through Shibalba? Yes. The nine levels of Mitlan? The correct thing?
Oh, my goodness.
Whoa. Let's go.
But impressive. I don't know, like, I was watching it, and I was like, that horse is the heaven horse, guys. Like, I don't know how to describe it.
Well, wait, now that you mention it, Tulio and Miguel is actually an anagram for they died on the ship. Oh my goodness!
I don't know, like,
interesting.
That is interesting.
They, like, if I died with my best bro and we didn't get any gold or any babes, I would dream about getting gold and babes and then riding off into the sunset with them and then journeying through El Dorado again. Oh, I'm so
but there
sorry.
Would have been two
I
babes.
Feel so
You're
seen.
So right. But
golden yeah. babes. If I die without gold and babes, I want to go and get gold and babes.
Oh, I would have put, but I would have gotten the babe as well. You know what I mean? So
that's yeah. A, yeah that's interesting. I like that theory because it doesn't like it doesn't take anything away. It's just like, hey, I think this is a no. I think that's interesting.
It was real to me.
I love horse. I like legitimately. I think that's really cool.
Yeah,
because it really does. I mean, the magic kicks in.
Yeah,
like right at that point. I don't know, man.
It would make sense that maybe that moment when Cortez was telling them like. You know, we're gonna take you to the plantations. He actually just killed them instead
of
just
like, starved to death. In the
or movie. They starved.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Death.
They should.
Or
not
they
be
got
that.
To the. Or they got to El Dorado and just died. There's so many different options and ways yeah. that you could look at it.
But she makes a good point about that the death probably yeah. happened before the keys, which is why my thought was that
True.
Cortez just kills them on sight. And the whole being in the brig, breaking out because a crazy smart horse throws him the keys is all, like, you know, in the afterlife of,
but
like...
it wasn't a pry bar.
It wasn't a pry bar.
It was not a pry bar.
It's not a pry bar.
That's so a dumb funny. Horse, remember,
oh
guys.
Oh, my gosh.
There were so many aspects of this movie that were dripping with just charm. Like, mm-hmm. like the volcano
oh
closing
God,
up
so
and burping and the dropping the keys down instead of the pry bar. There were so many clever misdirections. And honestly, it's just really entertaining to see two lucky people
yeah.
get into a series of misadventures and just figure it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
honestly,
it doesn't go too crazy with the concepts.
Yeah.
It's very simple. It's a very, I say grounded, even though they're pretending to be gods, but it's a very, like, centralized story.
Well, and I know that it was at the forefront of all of our minds because, you know, you and Colton made your characters based on Miguel and Tulio, and obviously all of us play a lot of D&D, but it
What's
really
that?
Is, like, kind of the dream, like, D&D one-shot for a party of two.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like you get two people in there and they break out and they escape, they get to this island, and then they have to go through all these misadventures to get off the island. And like
they both have the lucky feet.
They both have
the
lucky
have
feet.
The synchronicity spell.
The
yeah.
NPC Chell they end up taking with them because like she ends
As
up helping them so much.
Oh, I mean,
excuse
yeah.
me.
Yeah. What?
Did
what?
We just get a window into something?
No, they're conquistadors. Of course they're gonna. Be. Oh, you're not going for realism? I'm sorry.
No,
this movie clearly didn't go
realism?
For realism.
But no, like the whole movie, I'm like, I'm picture, and I know I wasn't the only one picturing everything. In terms of like, well, that was a failed constitution.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Like,
yes.
All these different
yes.
moments where I'm just like, and okay, that was a pretty good performance check. Like, you know, just little moments like that. And it's like, this is kind of the perfect one shot of like,
yeah.
just like if you ran a one shot for two people.
I will get started on writing that immediately. I legitimately am inspired. That is such a good idea.
I really am too. It's so good.
Sorry. The funniest slow turn.
It no, was, I saw his face because he dropped and then turned.
I have two things of closing thoughts.
Go
one,
right ahead.
In the comments, I need y'all to research. And I need you to tell me what the correct coinage was in the year that this was supposed to be in, because they mentioned several different things that are supposed to be the coins for Spain, and they're
yeah.
all different names that don't make any sense. So, one... figure that out. And then two is I think a lot of people really like the horse, and I can see why the kids would also really like the horse, because he's like Altivo is mirroring what the audience it's supposed to be doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like when he's like, but you know, jaw drop with that, or he's like, you know, just all of his like facial expressions and stuff. I feel like as a kid, you're watching, you'd almost like mirror the horse.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's helping when you would want to just jump in and help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like right when you're like, there's people coming. They're right over there. Yep. Like Altivo's already like, I'm on it. Yep. Like, I got it.
He really is the voice
of
God.
Or just being silly and dancing.
That's really interesting.
You know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I would be disingenuous to myself if I didn't mention or talk about the fact Chief Tani holding down the pillar.
Yes.
I mean, that's a good
one. That was the most... That's why you're Chief Tani.
Of course.
Because that is the character you want to be in your soul. That's the Bartholomew that can just take down a whole army. Like,
the forearm strength.
We're going to live Bart down.
Rory's just outcry boy. Of "Oh my god!" when he just grabs the pillar and yanks
it's
it.
My boy. That's my boy. All right, the MVP of the entire movie.
No, Well, it was a cool little, like, you know, again, something I didn't really notice as a kid was, like, you know, the chief being the more kind of humble, caring about the people, mm-hmm. and the priest being more of the corrupt, like wanting to kind of rule the people through, you know, essentially being the false priest and, you know.
And that's how we know it's unrealistic, because in reality, they're both corrupt.
Wah, wah. What a great way to end. Thanks
good night,
for,
everyone.
Thanks for those final thoughts, David. Does anyone have any other closing thoughts before we get out of here?
I have a quick survey question for everybody at the table.
Okay.
Because this is something I was actually trying to piece together in my head and make predictions before, like while I was watching the movie. So let's say you guys are on a trip to El Dorado, you and whoever you want to come with you, right? And you get there, and you somehow speak the same language, and they believe that you're gods. What do you do?
Oh, this is one of his classic, like, morality questions.
Like, yeah.
Like, so we show up there, and they're like, gods, there you are. Like,
steer into it for pure survival.
Yep.
They were gonna kill what's-his-face and what's-his-face. Like, I would do the same thing.
Miguel and Julio had a good point where it's like, it's either that or probably get sacrificed and, well, I'd rather live, so.
Yeah,
honestly, steer into it for as long as you can until you can either do what they did and escape, or just win over the higher-ups, which Miguel did, so that even though they know you're faking it, they're like, yeah, it's fine. Like, you know,
I would pretend that I'm a child of a god. Like, I'm something else. Like, I'm a god, but not in the way that they think. Yes. So I would have the protections of a god, maybe do some cool stuff, but that they're not holding me to the standard of a god.
Oh, and you could almost be, you could end up being like a prophet. Like where you're like, this is what the gods think.
I
speak for the gods.
You just become the high priest. Which, by the way, The priest had some wild abilities that we never talked about. Like, he was insane. He's just whipping out these crazy hallucinations he's like talking about the spiders and the snakes and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, but like, no one's talking about that. Like, the fact that he can just
do that.
Or
would you prefer
them
free range?
Look, can we have a moment of silence for the jaguar captain that just got totally just.
I liked him.
Used
I know.
Used. The whole movie.
It needs a little more.
Into a vat of acid.
Oh, yeah. He just got. He's just like, and goodbye. Pushes him into the acid. Oh, my gosh. No.
He did his best.
I'm okay.
He did his best.
He tried with what he was given, all right? And I support him and I appreciate him. And it was rough to see him die.
Priest?
No, the guy.
Oh, I was like, bro, why are you on the side of the priest? He killed a bunch of people. It's a podcast where they can't see
they
your
can't
face.
See your face. That's a great bit for an audio medium.
No, but yeah, I'm getting used to it.
Funny.
For those at home, he was making silly faces.
Silly faces. And
tell us in the comments.
And the subtitles on the podcast.
Don't
let's
understand.
Go. We got it. Post in the comments if you guys are reading the subtitles.
Well, any last thoughts before we get out of here?
No.
All right. Well, we actually can't. Do we have something to advertise right now, Samuel?
Yes.
I mean, look, we're pulling some graphics together, but I guess this could be the official announcement to all two of our listeners.
Drum roll, please.
No, not on the table, y'all.
On the table,
y'all.
You have to include that. That's so funny.
Drum roll.
That's gonna sound...
Hey, y'all, we're officially doing Heather's the Musical, August 31st through September 2nd. Audition info will be going out soon. Keep a watch on socials. Yay!
Okay. And I'm directing it, so it's gonna be good.
That's
and
just,
by that, I mean bad.
That's just a brick of sounding. It's
oh
just
my
a
God,
brick.
The painting on the table is my favorite. That's gotta
we
be
are
bad.
Professionals,
drum roll,
guys.
Drum roll, please. Okay!
No hesitation.
Assaulting our listeners' eardrums.
Y'all
all
are,
both of them.
Y'all are a disaster.
We're
a beautiful disaster.
Well, we are either going to be doing just another random hat pick like this one was, or if we can get Sir Rick back on, we can keep going on our Lord of the Rings series, which
Ooh.
Samuel is over here freaking out over.
Did we pull from the box?
No, that's why I was saying we're going to do another random one, but I don't have that because I didn't bring the box because I didn't think about it and I was unprepared, and now you pointed me out.
And also, our next
thing
should be Return of the King.
Wait. We don't want to keep that.
I mean, I was just going to keep
it. We don't want to keep that. That's not good content, Danielle.
I will edit it out later.
I know, I was trying to help.
Continuity.
Yeah, continuity.
No, but...
We're doing Heather's and it's going to be great.
Yes, and so next time we will either be doing another Lord of the Rings or another hat pick, and you'll just figure it out. but we...
You'll see it in your feed, which at
yes.
this point saying... Well, never mind.
What? Great job.
I'll end
it. Clapping together.
We're killing it, you guys.
Professionals.
But in the meantime, you can follow us on social media at Matt Artist Entertainment, on Twitter at artist_Matt. And what's our TikTok?
Oh my gosh, it's my TikTok!
Pulling it off, I've got it.
It's Matt Artist Entertainment on TikTok.
Perfect.
Let's go. Continuity.
But yes, so follow us on TikTok. That is new. So you can check us out on there. And you can email us at bannerbox.madartist@gmail.com if you have any requests, comments, corrections, concerns, whatever you may have. And please leave a review wherever you're listening. It helps us out a lot. And we will see you guys whenever we do this again. Bye-bye!
Bye, everyone!
Bye. Peace!